the whole city riding. Yeah. A little early, it's a bit surprising. Yeah. Business moves, now we enterprising. Yeah. Switch it up, now we improvising. Yeah. Go to get in the winter column. Whole squad been trained to go. Fence for life, we throw the foe. Singing this just to welcome bro.
Who that?
Two a time. Time to grind, time to shine. Two a time. Time to grind, time to shine. Two a time. My intuition told me this. To trust the coach, he holds a gift. He knowin' when to go with fit. So we knowin' when to switch. This year we got the golden pick. Time to see what that pick about. Bad vibes get sent out. Only fans up in this house. We been waiting, yeah, we been patient. Now it's time to cash out, no discount. Super Bowl, yeah, we in route. I don't know when, but it's close. I don't wanna overhype, but I just know I like it. So excited, league on notice now. You should know the rise. They say Tua from that rock. Shout out to Samoa now. It's time to lay the smack down. You think he Dwayne Johnson. Time to be the people's champ. Hit him with the people's elbow. Sit together like it's Velcro. You think you could stop us? Hell no, all day I dream about sports. I think I need some Chateau custom with some Dolphins colors. Just to let them know we here. Yeah. I know the whole city riding. Yeah. A little early, it's a bit surprising. Yeah. Business moves, now we enterprising. Yeah. Switch it up, now we improvising. Yeah. Go to get in the winter column. Whole squad been trained to go. Been for life, we throw the foe. Singing this just to welcome bro.
Who that?
Two a time. Yeah. Time to grind, time to shine. Two a time. Time to grind, time to shine. Two a time.
Really hope he the man. Hope we found us a jam, like the Heat found Bam. Wanna take time to thank Fitz, cause he put on a show. But the young man up, in the whole city know. Time to catch all the blessings, cash out on the investment. Ball out, don't choke, fans want all the smoke. Chris Gregg gave hope, coach flow like spoke. Dan Marino still a goat, but to a man on go. Watch to a man throw, watch to a man scope. Watch to a man dish shoot that we never ever seen before. Fans up, let it win. Born ready for a ring. Maybe 3, 4, 5, 6. It's damn week, use 10.
I know the whole city riding. A little early, it's a bit surprising. Business moves, now we enterprising. Switch it up, now we improvising. Go to get in the winter column. Whole squad been trained to go. Fans for life, we throw the foe. Singing this just to welcome bro.
Who that?
Two a time. Time to grind, time to shine.
Listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to Breaking News live here on DolphinsTalk.com. I'm your host, Stephen Daniels. Breaking news, this just in the last 30, 45 minutes, Adam Schefter reported that the Miami Dolphins are going to be releasing linebacker Jerome Baker. The two sides discussed a restructured contract, but couldn't reach an agreement. The Dolphins left the doors open to him coming back if he so chooses. Look, there's a lot to dive into on this, right? I did not expect this coming down the pipe. I am surprised. I figured they were going to restructure him, and I thought that those two sides were going to come to an agreement. I'm very surprised that this happened. And I don't know what this says about the Miami Dolphins, Greer, and his effectiveness to retain players that have been with this team for a long time. This, you know, look, you've already said that you're not re-signing Christian Wilkins and that you're allowing him to walk into free agency. You earlier today, you released cornerback and special teams Keon Crossan, who's been here a couple of years too. I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to create cap room. I get it. But when you have a veteran like Jerome Baker, who, by the way, in my opinion, has been a leader in the locker room, on the field, off the field, and somebody who, you know, look, has led this team in tackles for the last 4 years. His numbers, this was the first year he didn't play every game. This was the first year. He got hurt. It sucked. But, I mean, he led the team in tackles the last 4 years. And when he got hurt this year, to me, it was the embodiment of what a Miami Dolphin should be. Kyle Van Noy, former linebacker for the Dolphins, released a tweet earlier this week about Christian Wilkins not being re-signed, about he embodies what a Miami Dolphin is, and that, you know, he's a leader in the locker room, on the field, off the field. So is Jerome Baker. This man is a Miami Dolphin. When he got hurt, we all were hurt watching Hard Knocks, watching that. That was a tough show to watch. So I am very surprised, and I think that this is going to have a domino effect of the team now and in the future. I don't know what this says as far as the Dolphins. You know, the second part of Adam Schefter's tweet said, the Dolphins left the door open to him coming back if he so chooses. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, what else are they going to say? That to me, that's just standard. Well, look, you know, we'll try. We're going to allow him to go test the market. The Dolphins didn't want to pay what he was going to get paid this year. And they basically said, hey, look, if you think you can go do better, go do it. And I don't know what the domino effect of this is, but I have somebody who might be able to tell us what the domino effect is. From Dolphins Weekly and also DolphinsTalk.com, my friend and co-host, Jason Sarney. What's going on, Jason? Big news coming down the pipe.
Yeah, Steven, good afternoon. Good afternoon to all you Dolphins out there. Yeah, you know, big news, not surprising news. With the way it seems that it went down, there was probably renegotiation or restructuring attempts. Those didn't happen. So the thing to do was release him for the 9.8, I believe, salary cap savings from his cut, about 4.8 dead money there. Now, of course, it is plausible that they still talk throughout this process and maybe have him come back on a little bit of a discounted deal. This will, of course, be a chance for him to see what else is out there for him. Kudos to Jerome Baker on a fine Dolphin career. And this is just the beginning of some more cuts that are coming.
He tweeted, God opens doors for me, but I still keep spare keys. I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means, hey, look, I understand he's opening doors for me, but I want to keep going through the same door. I hope he wants to stay a Miami Dolphin. And I'm a little upset at Greer for not making this come to fruition, because Baker, I'm not saying Baker's the guy that's going to get us a Super Bowl ring, but he's somebody that in that locker room, his presence is felt with the other players there. And by letting him walk, I'm telling you right now, that's going to be a different team if Jerome Baker and Christian Wilkins are not there next year.
In theory, you're not off. It's funny. We've referenced Moneyball on this show. And one of my favorite parts of Moneyball is when Billy Bean and the crew or Brad Pitt's character was sitting down and saying, you know, the Yankees took our heart. The Red Sox took our kidneys. And we're losing heart and soul right now, or we're losing heart. So right now we have heart out the door at the moment in Jerome Baker. We have potentially soul going out the door in Christian Wilkins. And, Xavier Howard, I can't metaphorically put something on that, but he is the most and the longest tenured Dolphin. So history is out the door, really. But
Let me ask you, do you think, and I know this is, you know, obviously your thoughts, there's no, you can't really say, well, I know what's going on here, but is this more of an Anthony Weaver move, or is this Chris Greer not being able to pull the trigger and make this come to fruition the way it is? Because either way, it's a telling, and I think it's one of the two. Either Anthony Weaver wants his own guys coming in, and maybe this is a way to save face instead of just saying, hey, we're letting this guy walk. It was, hey, we tried to come to a restructure. It didn't work out. Have a nice day. Don't let the door hit you where the Lord splits you.
Number one, I got to give credit where credit is due. The groin heading out the door. That's a very funny comment that I'm with you there. That's very funny. And listen, Fish Pilot, yes. I don't know how many crossovers from Twitter and these YouTube streets that we're in. But I've publicly said, yeah, if Christian Wilkins does not get the long term at this point. He's not being franchised. So, yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to be feeling the same way that I red alert. I'm going to be very ticked off with Chris Greer. You could say that anywhere you want to slice it. If they don't extend him long term or sign him for a long term deal, I would be very, very disappointed at this point. And if you couple that with a couple of other moves, I will be furious. So I hope it doesn't get to that point.
Well, I can tell you right now, going through Twitter for the last 30 minutes, it seems that this is a very, you know, look, the Dolphins, you had tweeted 51 minutes ago that they're saving, what is it, roughly $31.6 million over the salary cap?
I have it up right now. We can take it down. We'll take it down right now. Like right today or this morning, we woke up $31.6 million in the red.
Okay.
And with the snap of two fingers, you cut Keon Crossing, who didn't have anything to do with last season. So you're saving $2.9 million there. And then you release after trying to restructure Jerome. And that right there on the cut will save you another $9.8 million. And all of a sudden, we're talking $18.8 million in the red. So 31 this morning, 18.8 before dinner. Not so bad.
Not so bad. Mark Kay says, hey, look, no Howard, no Ogba, no Baker, no Wilkins, no Chubbs, no Phillips for about 9 or 10 weeks of the season. Williams and Hunt potentially leaving. 6 draft choices and still $15 million over the cap. Good luck in 2024. It sounds like a lot of fans are very upset and disgruntled right now. Should they all just be, hey, slow down, calm down, let's see what happens here? Or do they have a right to feel this way? I mean, because I got to be honest, I didn't see this coming. And the fact that he couldn't get a restructure done with a guy who's been a Miami Dolphin since, I don't understand this move at all for no other reason than this guy deserves to be Dolphin for another 3 or 4 years. Easy.
Here's the deal with that. I don't disagree. I mean, a lot of times us as fans, a player for what he does for a team and a fan base might not constitute that on the open market, and in which case Drew Rosenhaus, who I believe is representing Jerome Baker in this case, will just come back to Miami and say, all right, you know what? All right. Let's talk again. And at that point, we have to look at Anthony Weaver, as you referenced. And I think that Anthony Weaver wasn't the problem here. I think you're looking fiscally, and the fact that if you're looking at restructuring Baker, you're talking about dealing with his money for next year. So kicking that particular can down the line, I don't think would have been prudent or it proven to not be the way that they were going to go. Now, if they re-sign him on a fresh new deal, 1 year veteran discount, hometown discount, whatever you want to call it. There's two restructures that I think have to happen. And that's Tyreek Hill. And that's Jalen Ramsey. And that's $30 million right there.
I don't know. All right. Let's say Baker doesn't come back. Okay. Wilkins obviously leaves. We all pretty sure he's not coming back too, right? Although they've also said that the door is still open for him for a possible return. What is the domino effect of this team? Because you have no Ogba, no Jerome Baker. What is going to happen with Andrew Van Ginkle? We don't know.
Well, like, I'm glad you said that.
What is the domino effect here? Who's playing for the Miami Dolphins on defense next year and rushing the quarterback? That's what I would like to know.
Well, it's a great segue into a name that we just said, or I just referenced in Drew Rosenhaus. Now, Drew Rosenhaus represents like 9% of the Dolphins. That's a rough figure. It could even be 13% of the Dolphins at this point. Now, this is an interesting story, because you have a client of his in Jerome Baker who saves the Dolphins, let's call it $6 million after the dead cap nonsense, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
$6 million. Now, let's do some fun math here. And now let's say Drew, hypothetically, in a week, wink, wink, walks into the Dolphins and says, hey, man, let's cut that Baker savings in half at $3 million, and let's just put that into Van Ginkle. And we'll lock it up.
But you're saying that in the thought or the process of Chris Greer is going to bring back Andrew Van Ginkle. Right now, if he's not willing to bring back Baker and Wilkins and Howard and all these other guys, and I'm I don't have any faith that he can retain Van Ginkle. I'm just being, right. I have to be honest. Let's separate the two. It puts red flags.
Separate the two. Baker's a little bit more long in the tooth in terms of just usage than Van Ginkle. Now remember, Van Ginkle is a guy who has just been starting to be used appropriately, right? So and the foot's fine. The foot's fine. Van Ginkle is also hitting the market as a hugely improved and now name recognized edge rusher to get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Baker's solid at that, at his middle linebacker position, at blitz, you know, getting in that role when needed. But let's face it, Andrew Van Ginkle is a more valuable player, and the priority is more towards Van Ginkle. Now, the problem with that and with the way Chris Greer has done things is that Chris Greer is a budget-oriented guy. Mm-hmm. He may come up now and then. He's done it, but he does have his figure. I can tell you right now safely, there's 12 teams easily that we have to worry about.
I'm not going to name. Ginkle sweepstakes, right?
It's not a sweepstakes. It's a freaking – it's an all-in Royal Rumble right now.
So all right, to be fair, tonight I will be on live at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Josh Moser of WSVN, who obviously has a close relationship with Drew Rosenhaus. We're going to be diving into this along with a lot of other stuff. But right now, Jason, I have to tell you, I am – nervous as a Miami Dolphins fan. I don't know where they turn to on this because, you know, for me, to me, this says so much more about more than Jerome Baker leaving the Miami Dolphins. This says so much to me that Chris Greer can't retain talent and keep them in house. That's what this is telling me. And I think that I have enough to back up my theory and showing that way. And for me, I want to win a Super Bowl. You can't really win Super Bowls if you don't retain talent, especially homegrown talent. And so I don't know, man. I've said on this show vehemently that I am pro Chris Greer, but right now, not being able to restructure a contract with a guy like Jerome Baker, there's got to be more to the story than meets the eye, and that's what I'm getting at.
To get to some of the question in the comment, yes. Age, Andrew Van Ginkle's got like a couple of months or even a year on him, but usage-wise, remember, there were years where Van Ginkle only played like 30% of the snaps, you know? So I'm saying that if he's also a guy who probably will top out at 75 seasonal percent of the snaps. But my point is that I think that with the value of his position and what he can do and, you know, where this team is, Van Ginkle's priority is a bit more. And I would hope that if money has to be really spent out of Chris Greer's comfort zone, it's to the sack production.
Yeah, that's true. And look, just like Wayne said, Kansas City let Tyreek Hill go and won a Super Bowl. And I know for a fact, you know, New England for 10 or 13 years, I think they re-signed a total of 5 people from the first 3 rounds to second contracts with them. But look, I just want the Dolphins to what is this, like, LeJarius Sneed? Is that the answer?
I don't see that.
Be an interesting thing, too.
I don't see that because he was tagged, meaning that if the Dolphins make a play for Sneed, they have to sacrifice draft capital as well as pay a top dollar figure where they're still even trying to get out of the red. So, phenomenal player. I know it's in Chris Greer's MO to match up corners with now Jalen Ramsey, but you know, I don't see it from what draft picks are you going to send this year's 2 and next year's 2?
I don't know what the answer is, but somebody else who might have an idea of what's going on here is the big boss here at Dolphins Talk. Mr. Mike Oliva is in the building. What's going on, Big Mike?
How are you? What's going on, Jason? How are you? Let me start with the Sneed thing since you just sort of mentioned it. And I wrote an article about this yesterday, which is up on our website right now at dolphinstalk.com. Are we still in that F them picks type mindset? Because if we are, this neat thing makes all the sense in the world because you can add a player like him. It doesn't count against the compensatory pick thing, which you can then – because here's the deal. If Wilkins walks, if he's not coming back, mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to be real active the first month or so next week, because they want to make sure they don't lose their third round pick that would be in 2025's draft for Christian Wilkins. Something like Snead, that's a trade. That doesn't count. So if you're in that F them picks mode, which the past 2 years we have been, then I see some logic there. Now, if Chris Greer is going to pivot, then it makes no logic. I wouldn't do it because I think he has to pivot, because the last two drafts, we've had nothing. we literally had nothing. And at some point, you got to have cheap rookies on rookie contracts to sort of fill up the roster. You just can't have all stars making, you know, $50, $60, $100 million deals and not have anyone behind him or anyone else. So I don't think he will. But if he's still in that F them picks mindset, the Snead thing then makes sense. I don't know what you're trading for him, because you're going to kill another draft. But that would be the logic there, would be to protect the compensatory pick for Wilkins if he leaves. And that's why I don't think someone like Queen's going to be in factor either, because if Wilkins walks, you sign Queen, now you're hurting that.
But if you let Wilkins walk, Van Ginkel walk, and Drummond walk,
that's my next point. That's my next point. I think if they have a mindset, we have a mindset as fans.
Okay.
Mindset as fans is I want to win every year. I want to win next year. I want to win the year after. I want to win the year after. I want to win, win, win. I want to win so much it's just coming out of my ears. I'm winning. They have to look at a big picture. They know in the next 12 to 18 months or so, you got to pay Holland. You got to pay Waddle. You got to pay Jalen Phillips. You know next year, Chubb probably ain't playing maybe at all, but at least the first 3 months. Then you got Jalen Phillips probably out to like late October-ish at best. They have to think next year might be a year where a little bit of a step back, a little bit of a hit in the reset.
Oh my God. Mike, don't say that. Please don't say that.
You can't. They don't have the money. They had to make some of these tough decisions. And in their eyes, Jason, we talk about this all the time. What are the five premium positions? Do Wilkins or Jerome Baker play either of those premium positions? He ain't paying them. Waddle does.
That's the thing.
Jalen does.
That's the thing, Mike. You're dead on with the habits. And Steven, he's dead on. Oh. It's protecting the quarterback. It's the quarterback. It's getting to the quarterback. It's the quarterback throwing the ball to someone. And it's who's stopping the ball.
Now, Mike, you've listened to every narrative for the last couple of weeks saying that this is either Greer does it this year or he doesn't. You're basically saying, look, the way the money works out and how things are going, he's probably already told.
Look.
Boss man, Stephen Ross, you're not going to be great, okay? Yeah,
two things here. Number one, that's why I think what you guys are saying is out with him, Baker, gives you a chance to keep Andrew Van Ginkel. Andrew Van Ginkel's got the skill set to be an edge rusher against the quarterback. I think that's very likely and possible. I don't know if they can afford to keep him, but I think it helps in retaining him. That's number one. Number two, I'm no fan of Chris Greer. We've gone over this at nauseam, especially myself and Jason and stuff. If he hadn't been fired yet, what makes you think anything's going to happen in the next 12 months? He'll get fired then.
Steven, Mike, I'm going to give you both and maybe a couple of people out there the soundbite or the clip maybe you've all been waiting for. I'm terrified of the next few months of what Chris Greer is going to
do. I think it's going to be – I think fans of the Dolphins – like, Steve, so, I can't
– Do you pay Tua then? Do you extend Tua?
Yeah, you have to. It's a fiscal responsibility.
You are going to say F this year. Why pay Tua? Let him play over 23.
They need money on the cap. They don't have the cap space.
I don't want to extend somebody I don't know I'm going to keep after this year now, though.
Well, then you're not keeping anybody. You're not keeping Hunt. You're not keeping Van Ginkel. You're not keeping Davis. You're not keeping Baker. They're all gone then.
They have to do it.
They back themselves in a corner. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying I agree. I agree with you. Let them play out the fifth-year option. They made this bad, and the only way out is now to extend them. They have no other out.
From a fiscal standpoint, Mike has absolutely nailed it, because sometimes, and I don't know the names off the top of my head, but there have been quarterbacks who have signed massive deals that are the record-breaking deal at the moment, top three, top five, that aren't necessarily saying that they're top that at the position. It's just what the team needed to do fiscally with that relationship. And that's where I think that we are. I think with the relationship with Tua, the Dolphins, Greer, McDaniel, and the way that things are going, we saw how it can work at its peak.
And I believe that it can. I believe that if Tua could keep on ascending,
well, I think it could work. Know, I think that's the case.
No, I do. But this is why you have to create $12 million this year. That's the extension. It's $12 million this year.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Okay. I get we as fans, we don't have any sway with the team. I get it. I understand it. But coming at this from a football perspective, how can you allow the GM of this football team to say, you know what? Hey, Mr. Ross, this is what's going to happen. We're kind of in cap hell. We got to worry about the future, and I don't want you to be screwed over. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. We're going to get rid of a lot of people that is not going to be pleasant. The fan base is going to hate it. We're going to extend this guy at quarterback, who, by the way, still hasn't won a big game yet. And then you're going to sit here and say this year, hey, look, this year is not going to happen. But the following year.
But they're not going to go all in like they have in years past. Look,
they have to go all in this year, Mike. There's no choice but to.
But they can't. They can't. It's almost that. Look, they're not even in cap hell. That's another thing. They're not in cap hell. You just cannot go out there like in years past and go out there and just, you know, starting next Wednesday at 4 o'clock, we're signing this guy. We're signing. You can't do that every year. Like, this is the problem the Dolphins have, which they haven't had in a long time. They have too many good players to keep them all. And
we're letting everybody walk. Everybody's allowed to the front door.
Look, Jerome Baker's a nice player. I like Jerome Baker. It's not the end of the world. It's Jerome Baker. I mean, it's Jerome Baker. It's the same thing.
But to me, but like, it's more Robert of a career like not Robert being Hunt. Able to do it.
I like and, Robert
Steven,
Hunt.
This is a
Robert
move
Hunt leaving is not the end of the world.
This is a move in Baker that they could literally say we're saving that money and going to put it to Andrew Van Ginkle, and they're going to draft a linebacker.
So,
this is all right, fine.
So, Jason.
This is not a move Mike, to
you
worry
guys,
about.
If Andrew Van Ginkle resigns, things are going in the right direction. But if Van Ginkle doesn't resign, correct. You have to say that these are all red flags.
I'm going to tell you why it now becomes an absolute necessity to match whatever other team might put in a bag for Van Ginkle. Because that's where I think the benefit of the doubt I'm going to give every party is the benefit of the doubt. Hey, X team is coming in with this. First refusal, guys. What are we doing? That, I think, is definitely fair to stay. To say is that some team can create a number higher than the Dolphins thought. The Dolphins will absolutely have an opportunity to match that because they do want Van Ginkle back. And Van Ginkle does want to come back. And the importance of him week one, which he'll be foot regardless.
And why couldn't they restructure a deal if they wanted to come back?
Let me get through it. This is why this is important to understand. They don't have sack production right now. Zero. They have Zach Sealer, and outside of him, you're losing. Let's say you lose Wilkins. That's 9. You lost Agba. That's 5.5. If you lose Van Ginkle, that's another 5.5. You don't have 11 from Chubb. You don't have 6.5 from Jalen Phillips. This is the most prolific last year of sack producers the Dolphins ever had in several players. They've never had 6 players above 5.5 sacks. This is why Van Ginkle just created more millions for him the last 2 days. Because if Wilkins doesn't come back, I know they're different players, but you need someone who can get to the quarterback. And outside of Zach Sealer, there's no one else who got multiple sacks last year for the Dolphins.
Okay, all right. What do you believe is the next domino effect from this? Both of you.
Restructuring of Tyreek Hill. And cuts like Jeff Wilson's gone. Duke Riley. Look, $6 million. Jeff Wilson, Duke Riley, Mike White. And then you draft another quarterback or you sign one off the market.
Yeah, I'm not sure about White.
I'm throwing out a couple million.
Yeah. I know. I mean, it might be White, but I'm not sure about him only because
we had 21 unrestricted free agents, and now we're letting go.
Steve, I told you 2-3 weeks ago. Out of all those names, one or two matter. Well, like, who cares about, you know, Chase Claypool? Who cares about River Craig? These are all replaceable guys. Right. You can replace them. You can find guys to replace them after June 1st at pretty much the same money or less. I mean, they're not big-time contributors. Outside of, like, 3 guys, outside of, like, Hunt, outside of Christian Wilkins, and outside of Andrew Van Ginkle, none of those other guys out of those 20 or 21 matter. They're just They're marginal NFL players. They're not big name guys. The big three or four guys that you had to worry about, that's the one you really got to focus on. I mean, if we lose our entire wide receiver room, except for Eric Uzomah, Tyreek Hill, Waddle, who cares? They stunk anyways last year when one of them went down. I mean, nobody could step up and do anything.
They need upgrades. And if they lose players that weren't factors, was Jeff Wilson a factor? No, overall. He had some nice moments. He was
a healthy scratch most weeks.
Right. He had some nice moments. You know, was, let's go down the list a little bit. You know, a guy like, Duke Riley, nice depth piece, but Duke Riley at depth, or give me $2.5 million to go out and give it to two rookies. That's what I would do. You know, that's what I think they're going to do, because money is going to come back.
How many draft picks do they have right now?
Six. They have six picks, which is one less than normal. One, two, three.
I only care about the first two rounds.
And it's only the first round.
After that, it's all crapshoot. It's impossible. Correct.
Even in the third, fourth, fifth round,
it's a guess.
It really is a guess. The Dolphins could also trade that 55 back and get one more third or fourth and then move back into the 70s and still be okay. But there's several things that they could do with trimming a couple of dollars. Jason Sanders restructure, a Durham Smythe restructure. Again, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Ramsey gets them back into the black.
All right. Easily. Now, there are some people in the community that are saying all this is going to equate to a big move that the Dolphins are planning to make.
Good with this guy. I mean,
very well.
And I'm not asking you to say, look, it's this player, but what move is possibly out there to be big? Like
the Snead move. Snead would be big. That'll give you the best secondary in the league. Two lockdown corners with Holland. That would sure up a secondary for a new, and he's still new in my book because he's only been a coordinator once and it was bad. That would give a young coordinator top end secondary. So then he could just focus on the front seven more of. And so that would be the move. Would be Snead. Now, again, I see it as unlikely just because they have so few draft picks. They've had so few in the past years to now give up a second and like something next year or even a first. Say the Lions, they come in hot with a first, but then you're just done. I mean, unless you want to partner with pick number 21, then you're done. But that would be a big move. Queen would off. I don't know. Queen's a nice move. I guess it would qualify as big. But, again, they're going to be looking at – I said this last week with Zach. I said it with you, Jason. Chris Greer, when he says something, believe it. It's his transparent and selfing. When he says, don't worry about the offensive line, you're more worried than they are, he ain't lying. There's no 3D chess going on. He'll be fine waiting to post June 1st to sign a left guard and a right guard, or maybe find some guy who no one else wanted at center. You might not like it. I won't like it. He's fine with it. That's why I don't see him drafting a center around one. Or taking an interior offensive lineman.
I don't trust him.
He never has.
Yeah.
And even when he has, it's taken not all of his offensive linemen, but most of them a few years to get up to speed. So you draft one this year, 2026, so finally off goes a light bulb because that's his track record. Again, I could see him taking an offensive tackle in round one, moving him inside the guard for a year. Then when Armstead's finally and thankfully gone, you can then slide him out there. I see that happening, but Chris Greer is very transparent. Snead, he pays the positions he wants to pay.
Patrick Queen, Derrick Henry.
Henry's not a big move. No running back. Look, he's never spent any money on a running back. If he gets like Henry, like 1 year, $8-9 million, that's not a big move, but that would be off brand for him, but that wouldn't be shocking either.
Two teams come in with more money for Derrick Henry. Chris Greer runs off that table like it's on fire.
He's done. He's not going to pay any of these running backs. Right.
He's not getting into a bidding war with a 30-yard.
He needs edge rushers and wide receivers badly. On top of the offensive line stuff, he needs edge rushers because he doesn't have any right now. And he needs wide receivers because after the top two, he's got nothing. And that's a passing league. People getting caught up on tight ends.
Was the franchise tag was placed on him by Kansas City.
He could be traded.
Not exclusive.
Meaning he could be traded.
Because they're going to pay Jones.
Now, I'm with Mike where this could be a splash. Do I love the splash? No. Because I think that this is a year that you're giving Mike McDaniel and this tenure of his the first time to have a first and a second draft pick. the first and the second round draft pick. Now, if you trade for Snead, I know that's just doing exactly what they've been doing, getting prime players instead of having to hit draft picks, and I get that. But something to me would be said about starting fresh with a first rounder, getting a potential fifth year option on that individual, hitting hopefully on a second or trading back and getting a good fresh class from top to bottom. And Mike McDaniel is one of two coaches that stayed the entire time at the scouting combine. And I thought that that's very interesting. Two coaches stay the entire time to watch every single drill. And this is the first year in his head coaching life that Mike McDaniel will be watching his general manager take a first rounder. I think that's extremely valuable to him. And if they're going to have to spend that first rounder on Snead, it's warranted, I guess, but I don't think that would be the move. I don't want, and it will be an additional pick too. It's two picks. You know that. It's two picks. Like somehow, some way, shape, or form, like it's said to be first, two first rounders. Trades that happen like that don't end up being two first rounders. They end up being like a second and a fourth.
It's not two first. It's two picks,
essentially.
Two picks.
Right.
You said the non-exclusive, right? So
it's not two first. It would be a negotiated. It said no franchise tag and trade has warranted two firsts. It's basically the negotiated standpoint of what the organizations do. I mean, there's been, I think maybe the first two trades might have had a first in it, but we've seen second round trades. We've seen the Jarvis Landry deal, which is like a fifth and a seventh or something like that.
Right. So, right. Mike, let me ask you a question, because this is where my red flag comes into play. You have somebody like Britt Baker. Allegedly, you know, the Dolphins would love for him to come back, but obviously at their, you know, money that they'd like him to come back at. By not restructuring a guy like Baker, who's big in the locker room on and off the field, is there any red flag to you about Greer not being able to restructure
he's been here 6 years. This is the NFL. He's been here since 2018. He's been a nice player. His contract over the years, he was paid handsomely. Mm-hmm. And now it got to the point where he's paid a little too handsomely for, you know, all the factors involved. I know people think Vic Fangio's gone, income Anthony Weaver, nothing's going to change. A lot's going to change. Okay, it's a lot. It's not, you know, it's a whole new scheme. It's a whole new staff on that side of the ball. And you can't, look, it's not a Supreme Court judge. You don't have a job for life. They kept him until the point where they didn't want him anymore. Now it's time to move on, get a little bit cheaper. You can get similar, it's Jerome Baker. I like the guy. You can get similar production at less money. And that's what the NFL is all about.
Right.
That's what this league's been built on. That's why the veterans fight. That's why the veterans fought for the draft, you know, like.
But in your mind, Mike, basically everything that's happened so far, you think that the Dolphins are of the understanding, upper management and ownership, that they might have to take a step back this year.
I mean, they would never admit that, but they're just not going to go, you know. They know that side of the ball has issues. Howard was getting older. He was starting to break down. Same thing here with Baker. He was, you know, not so much hurt and breaking down. He's not a $14 million a year player.
I agree. I don't think he is either, but I can't see. I did not see a world where Greer and Baker's representation not sit at a table and come to some sort of an agreement.
But the salary cap just went up. It only takes one team.
He's not the type of player that wants. It's almost like, and again, I like Jerome Baker, nice player.
Same here.
The Dolphins can literally say, "Here is what we will pay for Jerome," and then if as good as an agent as Drew Rosenhaus is, it doesn't even have to get to any other words. That's their limit for that veteran. Like that's it, and what it saves them can help them with higher prioritized business, and then when they maybe get $17 million back from the Xavier Howard post-June 1st thing, they could say, we have a couple of extra dollars if Jerome is still interested in coming back. That's not out of the equation, but they're not prioritizing Jerome Baker. They're not.
Last question I have for both of you is Anthony Weaver playing a big factor into what this defense is going
to
look like.
Well, they got to get guys to fit his scheme. Yeah, I mean, he's one of the coordinators. You got to get guys to fit his scheme. And you have to factor that. Then you have to factor in the the how much money they have to clear by next week and how much they want to spend on that side of the ball. It's more than one. This is the NFL. This is normal stuff. I like Jerome Baker. Again, it's Jerome Baker. It's not Dick Butkus. It's Jerome Baker.
This reminds me. Yeah, right. Jerome this Baker. Reminds me of like when they let Davin Godchow go. I liked him.
Nice player.
He was a good player. But he was not going to be
easily replaceable.
And look, right. And look who replaced him, actually. Theoretically, it was Christian Wilkins, if you want to really, really run. Be real.
Look, but they're going to be able to sign guys. But they're going to do this in a way where they have to make sure there's money to pay Tua this year, maybe even Wilkins if they can somehow find a way to make this work, and also get Holland an extension because there's no fifth-year option with Holland. There's no fifth-year option with Holland. The end of this year, he's walking.
Correct.
Okay? Or he's out there at least to walk. You can't stop it.
I'll be honest, if they don't re-sign him this offseason, I don't have any.
That's why you got to make tough calls today like
this. Correct.
Maybe in a week or two, they announce a long-term deal with Javon Holland. That's why you can't.
Which as a fan, I'm probably very happy about, but as somebody who wants the Dolphins to go deep into the playoffs this upcoming season, I don't have a lot of faith right now.
Oh, I wrote an article. Yeah, once again, people check out the article on the website. 2024 is going to be a tough year. When Chubb and Phillips aren't there, those are your two edge rushers. Okay, you're going to go half a year or more. I mean, Chubb, even they'd have to be contenders for Chubb to get on the field this year. If at end of November, mid part of November, they're like a 500 team, I am not. Chubb makes too much money. I need you for 2025. I can't have you come here and fight for the sixth or seventh wild cards. It's just, that makes no sense. They're going to go into this year with, you know, the first 7-8 weeks with edge rushers who probably aren't even on the team right now.
I'm going to give you
a name. Might be a Chop Robinson taking around.
Oh, you just stole my name. I literally was just going to say Chop Robinson and edge
Chop Robinson, who's a nice player. Yeah. He's also a project.
Well, Jason, you know, we talked about him on the draft show.
We talked about him too. Yes, we did. It's like, number one, going back to the cornerback scenario, why, you know, say what you want about Cam Smith. He should get an opportunity, right?
And
he
should get an opportunity. Too. You got to see what you got with him.
Correct. Now, if you literally make a move to put a person over Cam Smith, Chris Greer is saying, here are my cards I missed, or I was a bad pick, or I'm making a pivot because he's not good enough. So with Mike's point, I don't like the move because you almost forced yourself into having to give your first selection from last year in second rounder Cam Smith an opportunity, especially if you're having Ramsey freelance a little bit and play a little bit off, you know, his outside corner position. Who's going to be one and two, you know, when Ramsey's not on the outside? You know, it's going to be Cam Smith, and I don't necessarily know if it's going to be Snead in that case. Look in free agency, maybe. But you should look at an edge rusher in the draft. I mean, Agba gone. Wilkins might not come back. Van Ginkle might not be re-signed. Chubb, Jalen Phillips. It won't shock me at all. If Latu falls, I'd run the ticket up.
He's a Chris Greer guy.
Oh, he's a Chris Greer guy. And
with his injury history, he's a Chris Greer guy.
Exactly right. He's like, oh, didn't you have a neck problem? Sign me up.
Sign me up.
Sign me up. I mean, look at Jalen Phillips.
Here's the one to keep an eye on, too, is with Armstead. I pray they don't restructure him. I pray.
They won't restructure
him. I do not want to be tied to this guy any longer than I have to at this point. That's number one. Number two, Jason, you probably know this a little bit more than me with all the stuff you do with the numbers. You think, would it shock you if they made him a post June 1st cut?
For Teron Armstead, a post June 1st cut would create $11 million in dead cap money.
But so how that
much would it would almost be a negative. It would be a net negative.
All right, so that's not
it
happening.
Would be a net negative because it's $9 million. I think it's like 9.5.
Either he's retires and then the money comes off the
book. He ain't retiring.
He's not retiring.
Or you let him play again this year. And
the
that's
problem with restructuring, you can't kick a can down the road
with
a guy who might retire this year. Exactly. You can't do that with Teron. Teron is...
I'll restructure Ramsey. I hate him.
Correct. And that's also... I put out a tweet earlier because I was just having fun in the rabbit hole. Tyreek Hill is an easy restructure. That's $12 million. It's a Rosenhaus client. You got that relationship. Do it. You should do it. Jalen Ramsey is equally easy, I think, because that's the other huge veteran restructure. Bradley Chubb, I don't think is.
I wouldn't touch it either. No.
Right. It's too many injuries. Correct. It's fun to think about, but when you're looking at the players that you can kick a year down, Hill, Ramsey, I could live with because they're arguably your top two players out on the roster. They're your top two talented players.
They're both going to the Hall of Fame.
Correct. Right. So you know what? Do what you need to do. Correct.
Armstead ain't.
That, if only he was healthy, he would have had the chance.
If only he was healthy. He would have He'll give you 8 solid games, and you can love the, and love those 8 solid games, but have a plan B ready to go, which is why if they do take someone in round one, it would be an offensive tackle, not a guard or center, because then in a year or so, when you can finally move on from Armstead, you have your left tackle ready to go, and he won't mind picking up a fifth-year option on the left tackle. Right. And he won't mind paying a big money deal to a left tackle. He ain't going to want to pick up a fifth-year option on a center. I don't care how good that center is. He's great. He ain't going to want to pick up a fifth-year option on a guard. I don't care how good that guard is. And he's great. He wants to pick up fifth-year options on quarterbacks, wide receivers, edge rushers, and tackles and corners.
Which is why another position that you have to have that radar for, if the board falls, and Mike, you're the one that started me on this wide journey. Receiver. Was wide receiver. Yep. And if Brian Thomas Jr. is there, I don't care if he's the number three. He's a guy that next year or the year after that could be your number two. Because number guess one. What? Yeah. Right. But guess what happens in 2026? You might not have Tariq Hill and you have Jaylen Waddle as the number one or the number two because Brian Thomas is just so darn good.
Look.
Because you need that continuity.
I'll say the quiet part out loud. I'll say the quiet, which I've said before to you, Jason. With Tyreek Hill, some of the off-the-field antics, you better have a good third wide receiver just as dummy insurance in case he does something that costs him. There's a lot going on there.
I went down a rabbit hole.
We all read the headlines, and it's not just one-time thing. It's thing after thing after thing after thing after thing, and it's like there might be a time where he does something where, yeah, he's gets an 8-10 game suspension. Yeah. God knows what. You can only freaking imagine. Hitting a guy in Marina last year, everyone laughed at it. Yeah, he had to meet with the commissioner about that.
These are things that – the third wide receiver thing, Steven, this is important because I pulled the targets per game for all the wide receivers from last year. None of them outside of Waddle and Hill got over 2 a game. Think about that. No wide receiver on the Dolphins other than their top two saw the ball on average more than twice per game. I looked around the league. Third wide receivers are getting 3.5. 4 targets per game. And if you look at teams that actually have a prolific offense, you're looking at teams that their third wide receiver is getting 5.8. What player? Let me give you, let's have some fun. Mike, you'll be good at this too. 9.1, 6.3, 5.8 wide receivers, 1, 2, 3 targets per game. Who did I just name?
Targets per game from last year? Think about
it. Yeah. You're looking at nearly 10.
All around the league, right?
On this specific team, that was a bad lead-in. You're looking at Tyler Boyd getting 5.8 targets as a wide receiver 3.
Yeah, I would take
on Cincinnati. When you're looking at at Houston, you're looking at Noah Brown got 5.5 targets as a number 3. Nico Collins 7.3. Tank Dell 6.8. Looking at Dallas, with Cooks, CeeDee Lamb and Gallup. 4.4 for Gallup on the
more diversified offenses, which is what Miami needs to be.
That's
more
exactly
diversified.
What we're saying. And yes, since, top yes. heavy. You have Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, amazing. But what if you have a 6'3 stud who can run every route, who gets 3.5 targets his rookie year, but he catches a touchdown every 1.5 of them? Do the math. That's like 7.
And I don't want to reach. Here's the deal, because I know someone here in the chat said about Smythe and the tight end. Yes, a nice. Here's the
Ball
deal.
You're Dolphin now.
Wants a tight end who can block primarily, and if they can make plays in the passing game, that's just great. I do not want to reach for a tight end. I don't. If one falls in your lap, great. Or if one is out there to sign at a reasonable price that fits inside your budget, great. I'd rather a wide receiver 3 to me has more value because, again, for the Hill insurance, for 3 wide receiver sets are used can make much are on the field more than anything a tight end will give you. And I think a top-end third wide receiver, not even top-end, just a quality third wide receiver, whether it's someone in the draft who has a really high ceiling or someone you go out there and sign, would really revamp this offense. Because here's the one thing we can't do next year. We all love Tyreek Hill on the field for on-the-field stuff. We can't play the game of we got to force-feed him the ball to get 2,000 yards. I don't give a crap if he gets 1,600, 1,800, 2,000 yards. I don't care. And and nobody else should care either, honestly. We got to put if this offense needs to be more diversified, it needs to run the ball more. It needs to get more players involved in the passing game. And it needs to, Mike McDaniel's been in the league 2 years now. Teams are starting to get, I mean, they're already onto his offense a little bit. And to tweak it, it's not just a tight end. You can get another big play guy somewhere as your third wide receiver. It just can't be the guys who were here last year because they showed they're all dogs.
Adding to that, lastly, on the third wide receiver, let's look at the Tua quarterback class. I'm going to go through those targets for those top three receivers per game. Let's start with the Los Angeles Chargers. Keenan Allen is the number one, 11.5. Then you have Mike Williams at 8.7, Josh Palmer at 6.1, Quinnen Johnson, the rookie, at 3.9. This blows the Dolphins out of the water in that area because of his options. Forget about Herbert. Say what you want about Herbert. The options are there. I just gave you Cincinnati. Let's go to Jordan Love. Let's go to Jordan Love. Jordan Love's is telling because he had a phenomenal year, a playoff year, and his top three wide receivers are remarkably similar. 5.9, Jalen Reed. 5.9, Christian Watson. 5.6, Romeo Doubs. These are targets per game.
Meaning diversification is
diversification. Diversification, people. That's what I'm telling you. It's like strategery.
Hey, look, I know we stayed on a little bit longer here than usual. Look, this is big news, and this isn't the only news that's going to be happening. Over the next few weeks, next coming days, I think we're going to see a lot of news come out of South Florida from the Miami Dolphins organization. So it'll be very interesting to see. Tonight at 7:30 p.m., we have That's Another Miami Dolphins First Down podcast. Myself, Josh Moser, will be on with that. That's going to be a lot of fun. I will tell you guys, we got the text message today. Next 2 or 3 weeks, Drew Rosenhaus is going to be on the show. So be on the lookout for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then we also got a lot of stuff headed on Friday with myself and Jason Sarney right here on Clock Blockers in the Morning. Tomorrow is Wildin' Out Wednesday. It's going to be crazy, and I'm sure a lot of fans have a lot to say. So come on back tomorrow and see the chaos that will be Dolphins fans going nuts on here tomorrow. Mike, what do you got coming up on the channel?
I'm working on a couple interviews. I don't know when they're going to happen, but there might be a couple. If they happen, spur of the moment things that pop up. So keep an eye out there. And I'm sure, look, when news breaks this week and next week, we're all going to be on with shows at some point. So when
don't news forget breaks, we'll have Marissa too and Bearded Fanatic. They're also going to be doing stuff too.
Yep, they're going to be doing stuff. And myself and Tom will be on when. So when stuff happens, Dolphins, wherever you listen to this, whether it's YouTube or whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, Podchaser,
YouTube Music,
subscribe to something, because when new shows drop or if it's on YouTube like this, when we go live, it goes straight to your smart device. You listen. So subscribe to one of our platforms, especially YouTube would be great, but any of the platforms really, because almost everything is in audio form as well. But there's going to be a lot of shows here in the next few weeks, as there's going to be a ton of big news. And not all of it's going to make people happy. I get you, Steve. I don't like to lose them either, Baker. But there's a big picture here with a bunch of guys next year who might need to get paid, who they might have to pay now. So they don't like to use, you know, franchise tags and stuff. So they need money. They need money.
It'll be very interesting. DolphinsTalk.com is the place to get all of your Miami Dolphins fan news updates. Jason Sarney, make sure you check him out on social media at Jason_Sarney. Always breaking down great tidbits on Twitter. I'm always going to call it Twitter. I'm never going to call it X. That's what it is. Okay. And I hope you guys enjoyed. Share the link. Let people know in the comments section below if you agreed or disagreed with us. Put it in the comments section. Mike and I will respond to it, and Jason and I will respond to it, no matter how crazy it sounds. All right. And some of y'all sound pretty crazy. So do I, too. I'm just messing with y'all. We'll see you next time right here on DolphinsTalk.com. Peace. Some more, and now it's time to lay the smack down. You think you Dwayne Johnson. Time to be the people's champ. Hit them with the people's elbows.